Well, the greatest honor, the greatest honor you can receive as a professional baseball player is to be enshrined in Cooperstown, New York. That was what that was. It's where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. And anybody ever been there before? Anybody ever been to that? Yeah, a few people. Awesome. I've never been, but I've seen videos of it, and it's an amazing place. I was reading a lot about it this week because I want to kind of use that as a lens today as we finish up our Take Me Out to the Ball Game series. But the Hall of Fame only has 317 people in it. Of all time, 317 people are the only people that are in there. And out of those 317 people, not all of them are even ballplayers. In fact, only 255 are ballplayers, most of which are from the major leagues, some of which are from the Negro Baseball League back in the day. And then the rest of them are managers like Bobby Cox, woohoo, right, go Braves, and other pioneers of the game. And so there's a lot of people. And as you go through the Hall of Fame, you might see guys like Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, all these great players, Ty Cobb, Willie Mays. Of course, you know, there's some newer players like Ken Griffey Jr., Cal Ripken, and of course some great Braves pitchers, you know, like Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox, and of course the old knuckleballer, Phil Niekro. There's a lot of great players in the Hall of Fame. But out of all those players, for a player to get in the Hall of Fame, you have to have played 10 years with excellence, at least 10 years or more with excellence. And after 5 years of retirement, you're eligible to be voted in by Baseball America and by other sports writers into this very elite group. So you can just imagine, like, 317 people, very elite, hard to get in. And so the thing is, if you were to walk those halls that's dripping with history and dripping with excellence, it would be easy to look at these guys in the Hall of Fame. In fact, there's a few pictures and stuff of the Hall of Fame, but it'd be easy to look at these guys and you see, you know, it's like they're bronzed or whatever it is. It'd be easy to look at those guys and say, man, I could never play like that. Like, if you're a baseball player, it doesn't matter how good you are, it would be easy to say, wow, I could never become anything like that. In fact, one of the things that we see in the Hall of Fame is you see everybody's highlight reel, right? You see everybody's greatest hits. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's kind of how it feels if you were to read through in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes people, it's a little bit corny, but sometimes people call it the Hall of Faith. Because in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews is talking about these iconic, amazing people who displayed great faith in the Bible. And it's easy for us to read that and say, man, I could never become like those people. In fact, as you hear each person, you can almost imagine them being enshrined on a wall together, like seeing their stories as the author of Hebrews is writing about them. And it's one of those things where you're almost reading through all their highlight reels. As you see their stories and things like that, what you hear about is how they trusted God for things that they couldn't even see. They trusted God, though, in big ways. They trusted him. And it's one of those things where, well, you'll find guys, just like in the Hall of Fame, you'll find these iconic people in Hebrews 11. You'll find people like Moses and Abraham. You'll find Noah, who had, by faith, built an ark, even though it hadn't rained in a long time. You find people like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. You'll even find this woman named Rahab, who by faith welcomed some spies in. You'll also find this guy that we don't hear much about in the Bible, but his name is Enoch. And I love Enoch, what it says about Enoch, because one of the things it says about him is this simple phrase that I think is, if we get to the end of our life, this is what all of us would want to be said, what would want said about us. It says that Enoch walked with God. It's like, that's why he is this like man of great faith. He walked with God. It's like, man, I just want that to be like on my tombstone someday, like Andy walked with God, right? Like, I want that to be said of me, like in everything that I did, he walked with God. And it's one of those things you hear all these people, and all these people in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 are meant to encourage us on the journey as we see, you know, these incredible people of faith. Just like for a baseball player walking through the Hall of Fame, it's there to encourage and inspire us. And it's one of those things, though, where one thing we can learn by the Hall of Fame in baseball and by the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 is really that every single person had ups and downs in their career. Every single person had ups and downs in their faith. In fact, they weren't this polished and bronzed person on a wall, even in the Bible. In fact, it's one of those things where we know them as Moses and Abraham, wow. But all of them had hiccups in their stories. All of them had ups and downs. In fact, just to prove the point in a baseball sense of some of these incredible people, I want you to check out this clip. Some of the people that are in the Hall of Fame and one or two that might be future Hall of Famers of how they even made the blooper reels. Check it out.
Popped up, third base side, A-Rod and Jeter, and who's going to get it? They drop it. Oh, man. This is an amnesia game for them. They want to forget they played this one.
The 2-2 got a piece of it.
Had a good piece of it, and actually had a real good swing.
Oh, look at this. Here go the sprinklers. The sprinklers have fired just on the infield, but Pedro, soaking wet, has to walk right.
It's either great aim or a big mistake, right? Sorry for the animal lovers that are out there, but anyway, as you walk through the Hall of Fame in baseball, it's easy to forget that what makes a Hall of Famer in baseball is not perfection, right? Unless you call hitting a bird square on perfection, whatever. But it's not perfection. Like even heroes in baseball go through slumps. Even heroes make the bloopers real. But that's not what you normally see in the Hall of Fame. And Don Yeager, one of the sports writers, once said this, that that's one of the oddities, the great oddities of baseball. A hitter who fails 70% of the time at the plate is a potential member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And the same is true when you read Hebrews chapter 11. It's easy to be surrounded by all these people and be like, wow, I can never be like that. But they didn't all live perfect stories. They weren't always demonstrating great faith. In fact, a couple examples, Moses was a murderer. He was also a stutterer. He was a guy, when God first called him to go to Pharaoh, he didn't really have the faith to do it. He was like, I don't really want to do that, right? At the same time, you see people with checkered stories. Rahab, who's listed in this woman of faith who welcomes spies, she's listed. She was also a prostitute. Like, not necessarily who you would think would be in the Hall of Faith, right? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and was thrown into a cistern to be left by himself. Even heroes make the bloopers reels. And so being a person of great faith doesn't mean you always make the highlight reel. Here's what it says of what makes a person, a great person of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then it talks about all these people. And so here's the thing. Being a person of great faith means just being a person who demonstrates faith, who puts their trust in God, not just on the mountaintops when you can see everything that's ahead. It's easy to trust God there. But people who had great faith, who were willing to trust God in the middle of the valley, when they couldn't see what was ahead, when the circumstances around them sometimes says, look, this can't be done. You can't trust God now. And it's one of those things where we're meant to look at this list of people in the faith in Hebrews 11 and to be in awe of them, to be inspired by them, but also to realize that the list of enshrined people are not there because they were perfect. They're there because they demonstrated big faith. They trusted God in big ways. And it got me thinking, like, I wonder what those heroes in the faith would say to us today. What would they say to our faith and say into our lives today? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 gives us a little bit of picture of that. And I want you to check out what the author tells us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it's almost like he's walking through the hall of faith. Like, you see all these people? Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. See, when the author of Hebrews is talking about this cloud of witnesses, like I said, it's almost like he's seeing all these people almost like on a wall in the hall of fame, you know? He's seeing all these people, and he gives us this athletic imagery. He's like, just, it's almost like they're surrounding us in this like great arena, like cheering us on in the faith, saying, come on, keep going. Kind of crazy to think about that. So when we were just singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, we realized that we're not just singing here at the fountain. We're joining with all the host of heaven. We're joining all the angels and all those who have gone before us in the faith, who are cheering us on and who are singing praises to him and saying, come on, keep running the race. And so it's one of those things where just, I think one of the things, the first thing that the heroes in the faith would tell us is this. Number one is this. They would tell us, don't let anything hold you back from running with Jesus. Don't let anything hold you back from running with Jesus. They knew this. I mean, they all had problems and things like that. Don't let anything hold you back from running with Jesus. In fact, sometimes the author says sometimes it's sin that holds us back. But sometimes it's not even like times when we miss the mark and step over the line. Sometimes it's just things where basically he says throw away any distraction. Throw away any barrier. Throw away anything that might hinder you from following Jesus and running effectively with him. And so it also means not to get distracted by running a different race. So many people in their lives are running, they're running on a certain race, and so many people are running the wrong race in life, running after power or possessions or prestige, and this is the race that I'm on. And you get to the end of the journey and you realize, wait a minute, I missed the race that I was made for. And so what he's saying is don't let anything hold you back by any weight or anything in your life. And so here's the first question for you. Is there any barrier, is there any weight in your life that you need to lay aside so you can run more effectively with Jesus? Is there anything you need to lay down so you can run more effectively with him? Here's the second thing I think they would tell us. The author of Hebrew tells us is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus and don't stop running with faith toward Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, he's the target, and don't stop running with faith toward Jesus. See, the point of faith and the point of life is to run this race, to run the journey around the base path with Jesus. And so, but also, the point is to not fade out, to not quit, to keep persevering until you make it finally all the way home with Jesus. And he says, remember, Jesus is the pioneer or the author. He's the starter of your faith. And he says, and he's the one, if you run with him, he will run with you and he will finish the race with you. And he'll mold you and shape you into the person he created you to be along the way, looking more and more like him. And so the promise for us is if we run with Jesus, if we finish this race with him, that at the end of this journey, we will be a different person. We will be a new creation compared to the person we were before. And so the invitation for us today is this. May you be reminded that running with Jesus is the greatest race you could ever run on. It's the greatest race you could ever run on. In fact, it's the only base path in life that lasts for eternity. And at the same time, may you be reminded of the people in the faith who had this bold faith to trust God for things they couldn't see. And let that inspire us to do the same in our life. But know that you don't run the base path alone. The cloud of witnesses is around us, cheering us on, helping us to run the base path of our faith well. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and don't stop running until we reach all the way home. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this great reminder of these heroes in the faith, and may we in our life be challenged by how we can demonstrate great faith as well for things that we can't see ahead. There's so many things that we face. There's so many things that are ahead of us that God, you go before us. But so many times we don't realize that you're big enough for anything that we face. And God, I just pray that for all of us, that in our lives, that we would be able to, you know, faith is not just trusting you for the things we know you're going to come through on, but trusting you in ways when we don't know exactly or we don't see exactly what's ahead. So God, I just pray that you would help us in our lives to demonstrate great faith. Give us faith to trust you and to love you more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.